This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The national news media have not discovered it, but the issue that is bringing out hundreds of citizens who never before attended political meetings is Common Core education standards. More precisely, it is the attempt of Barack Obama's Department of Education to force all states and schools to adopt specified national education standards for each grade level that will dictate what all kids learn and do not learn. Common Core means federal control of school curriculum. That means control by Obama administration left-wing bureaucrats. Federal control will replace all curriculum decisions made by state and local school boards, by state legislatures, by parents, and even Congress, because Obama bypassed Congress using $4 billion of stimulus money to promote Common Core. It's not only public schools that must obey the Fed's dictates. Common Core will control the curriculum of charter schools, private schools, religious schools, Catholic schools, and homeschooling. The control mechanism is the tests. Kids must pass the tests in order to get a high school diploma, admittance to college, or even a GED. If they have not studied a curriculum based on Common Core, they won't score well on the test. Common Core cannot be described as voluntary. Since Common Core is so costly to the states, it's an estimated $15 billion for retraining teachers and the purchase of computers for all kids to take the tests. Common Core is foisted on the locals by a combination of bribes, federal handouts, and as the price for getting a waiver to exempt a state from other obnoxious mandates, such as No Child Left Behind. Don't be under any illusion that Common Core will make kids smarter. The Common Core academic level is lower than what many states use right now.
Has your son or daughter expressed frustration with the liberal ideology and anti-Christian propaganda on their college campus? Encourage any students you know to join Phyllis Schlafly and other conservative leaders in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19 for the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com. to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
October 30th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago, where the trees are beginning to turn fall colors. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of all the guests that I've ever had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Pat Shannon. His name is spelled S-H-A-N-N-A-N. His website is patshannon.us. Pat Shannon's thirst for truth was set in motion nearly a half century ago when he began to examine the other side of the news of the JFK assassination, and it has never been quenched. Through the years, he discovered that Americans have seldom been told the whole truth about anything of consequence, such is the case with the current mainstream propaganda revolving around the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. His latest, The JFK Assassination and the Uncensored Story of the Two Oswalds, presents evidence and facts seldom heard or seen in print. His amateur sleuthing turned professional after the notorious 1983 federally sanctioned rub-out of Gordon Call by the FBI and U.S. Marshals in North Dakota and Arkansas. Pat, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. How are you these days?
I'm very well. And you?
Great. I'm down here in North Georgia, and I heard you mention the leaves turning in Illinois. It's unseasonably warm this week. Last week, if we thought winter was here, and now we're back in the 70s, so I can brag about that a little.
Well, that's good. So you have written 8 books, and the one before this most recent one was Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. I really like your title, and it's so accurate. We could all say that everything we've ever been told.
Let me tell you where that title came from.
All righty.
Years ago, nearly a decade ago, I had a close friend. He was a tax-fighting attorney in Georgia. I was in Mississippi at the time, but he got a little bit too deep into truth with the IRS. And ended up getting a vacation down here at the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary for a couple of years. And he and his wife both were dear friends of mine. He has since passed away, by the way, this year. But when she would visit him on Saturdays, because she lived on the north side of Atlanta and he was down there on the south side, She would, of course, meet and greet some other people that she would see, got to know weekly. And one was a man from Chicago, incidentally, whose son was probably in his 50s, as I remember at that time, who was in there also for being a paper terrorist. And that had, you know, sent a little bit too much truth to the federales over the years. And so they dreamt up some reason to put him behind the bars. And one day when Donna was there, she was waiting for her husband to come out to the visiting room. And she got to chatting with this 80 plus year old man who was a World War II vet. And he had been to on Iwo Jima and, you know, quite a war record and quite a carrier of what I call today the red, white, and blue fever.
Oh,
and
yes.
I define that in the book as well. But he was bemoaning the fact that his son was there and he hadn't harmed anyone. And they talked a little bit about this, that, and the other. And as Donna got to know him a little bit, she's telling me on the phone a day or two later when I called to see how she was doing. And she told me what I just related to you. And then she said, and Pat, and then almost with tears in his eyes, he looked at me and he said, Donna, everything they ever told me about this country was a lie. And I said, whoa, Donna, what a book title. I'm in the middle of one now. That's my new title. I decided on the spot. It took me another couple of years to finish it, but that's where the title came from.
Amazing. Well, the book, your most recent book, The JFK Assassination and the Uncensored Story of the Two Oswalds, is just remarkable. Now, I have not finished it because we just recently scheduled this program and you sent me the book. And I was just amazed. I mean, I had never, it never dawned on me that there would be two. And you have really given evidence and the pictures. I mean, the first thing that we see when we open the book is all of these pictures of these two individuals. And when you look at them next to each other, you say, well, of course they're different people.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I'd never heard that concept before, that there were two Oswalds.
Well, one more reason for the evolution of this book. I did a chapter and everything they ever told me was a lie on the two Oswalds. But I only scratched the surface. And about a year ago now, or actually less than that, close to Christmas time, a friend who had read my book said, you know, the 50th anniversary is coming up, and you should do a whole book on the two Oswalds because nobody knows about it. Now, here's a guy who's a British historian who's telling me this, and I talked to other people of historical and educational stature who have told me the same thing. And people who should know don't. Well, why don't you know? Because it's been suppressed. This information, I can only give credit to John Armstrong. He dug it up 30 years after so many of us old guys suspected it. But it really has been common knowledge. He wrote a 1,000-page epic in the late 90s. He had done several small publications. Oh, gosh, I forgot to cut that off. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I broke my train of thought there.
John Armstrong wrote this 1,000-page
book. Yeah, so John put it all together, and he wrote this wonderful book, and it's been suppressed. Now, I understand that paid disinformation experts like a Bill O'Reilly would ignore it. But I'm a little bit upset with some of my fellow research historians. Jerome Corsi has a great book out on the subject, and his book is much better than mine for the neophyte, for the younger generation who know nothing about this case. Mine is written more, I guess, because I've been on the case for 50 years, and so much of it is old hat to me. But I kind of chastised, pleasantly chided Jerry Corsi a little bit about his. And I said, you know, you've hit the target, but here's the bullseye that you missed. And he didn't totally miss it. I gave him credit for that. He mentioned Armstrong, but he called it a theory. And I just don't think it's a theory anymore. But at least he's several pedestals higher than, Minnesota Governor Jesse. I mean, he's got a big book out. He was on Larry King's show a week or two ago, and he still talks about the singular Oswald. Well, it bothers me that these types of people are ignoring the fact, and that's why I said on the back cover that anybody, any 21st century writer who still refers to a singular Oswald is simply confusing his audience. I forget how I worded it now, but you've got it there. But because he's deceiving his audience with antiquated data. So this is why I wrote the book, and I was much too late in getting it out because it won't get much coverage either because I missed the spring deadline for getting it in the fall catalog. I had several publishers who wanted it, but couldn't get there in time.
Okay, well, at least it's out. Okay, we are going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength, military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Shannon, that's S-H-A-N-N-A-N, who is definitely not a gatekeeper. His website is patshannon.us. Alrighty. So the book is out. You hope to get it out sooner, but it came later. So, the point is that it's out and it's wonderful and people should read it. Anybody that's the least bit interested, and I assume that everybody should be, People need to read this book. Now, did you buy Armstrong's book?
Yes, about 10 years ago. I've had it on my shelf a long, long time. And his book is, plus he's got CDs in there of all the pictures and stuff that you see. But his book is one that is not easy to read. He's got to be the world's greatest researcher, as I called him in my book. But he pounds details so much that you almost want to turn the page and say, okay, I believe you. So, tell me the next one. But once again, he's a researcher and he's making his evidence. He's making his case. And it was so impressive to me having read two or three of his smaller publications before he came out with the giant one. But once again, you see, I'm from that old Mark Lane school and some of the old timers that, I go back on this case, even though I didn't write about it in the years. I was a student of this case really like in the first year. In my early 20s, I had no reason to suspect the government like everybody else. I just, whatever you saw in the newspaper, TV was true, of course. But in 1964, by less than a year later, actually only about 6 months, as I remember, after the assassination, I read a book called Who Killed Kennedy by Thomas Buchanan. I'd never heard of him before. I don't know if he ever wrote anything later, but it was a little dollar paperback that, was so filled with questions. He had a lot more questions than answers. And so that intrigued me. And then the following September, the Warren Omission Report came out, and I was hooked. You know, I was hooked then. So, I'm looking at a bookshelf now, Deanna, that's 7 feet tall and 5 feet wide and jam-packed with nothing but the JFK assassination books, plus about 75 videos from the old VHS days. And I have the magazines from December 1963, A Life and Time. I saved all that over the years. And I'm sure mine is not the greatest collection in America, but it would probably be way up on the list of most and biggest. But so much of that stuff in there is repeated. So much of it, as I said in this new book, during the first 25 years, was deception. The last 25 years, people have gotten more courage to come out and speak the truth. And that 1988 TV production called The Men Who Killed Kennedy that was repeated every year, for 15 until 03 when, Lyndon Johnson's widow, Lady Bird, and a couple of others from the Johnson era shot it down. And they actually, as I mentioned in the book, that incidentally that Men Who Killed Kennedy DVD series sold more copies to the public after the fact than any other DVD they'd ever done. Yet they still pulled it off the air and they pulled it off of sale. That's how powerful the adversary behind the scene can be. But if I may, let me tell you why this particular scenario intrigued me and has intrigued me since 1966. And that's when a man by the name of Richard Popkin came out with a book called The Second Oswald. And once again, he had more questions than answers, but he had more pertinent questions. And for instance, this man identifying himself as Lee Harvey Oswald in 1961 is driving up and down Stemmons Freeway there in Dallas while he's trying out a new car, and the car salesman is next to him in the seat. He's driving 80 miles an hour and speaking foolishly and driving foolishly and bragging that he's going to be coming into some money soon and obviously drawing attention to himself, Lee Harvey Oswald. Well, as Popkin pointed out first, the problem with that situation was, number one, the Oswald that you and I knew later, that Jack Ruby shot in the jailhouse, didn't drive. He never learned how to drive. Never got a license. And also, and unfortunately for the setup, the Lee Harvey Oswald that you and I knew, the one that Armstrong and I now identify as Harvey, in 1961 was in Russia. He wasn't even in the United States. So he couldn't have been attempting to buy a car. These are the sorts of intriguing questions that got not only my attention, but many other writers who came along later. And the one that always bugged me, it bugged me for 30 years, and many others, I'm sure, until John Armstrong came around and dug it out. But let's stop and think now. Let's think logically. Here we've got a kid born October the 18th, 1939, in New Orleans, of all places, one of the most distinguishable American accents anywhere. If you ever met anybody from New Orleans, you never forget how they talk, do you?
Right.
And but here's a high school dropout. At 17, as soon as he's old enough to join the Marines, does so, and allegedly goes to language school in Japan for 6 weeks. Some of the military even refuted that statement later, that he really didn't. But let's assume that he did go to language school, and this is Lee Oswald in 1956. And by the time he gets out of the Marines and decides to emigrate to Russia in 1959, he meets Marina the following year, and he speaks the language so fluently that she believes him to be a native. Now, there is something wrong with that picture.
Indeed.
I mean, think of the many Italian immigrants or Hungarian immigrants or Russian immigrants that you have met who are in their 50s or 60s now, and they've been in this country for 30 or 40 years. They still have their distinguishable accent from their European heritage, don't they?
Yes.
So it certainly would work the opposite way on any American who studied a little bit of Russian in language school, and then he goes to Russia. He would be spotted. On the other hand, that was Lee Oswald. Harvey was still in high school in New Orleans, and in the appendix, right at the end of the book, I think is one of the most definitive small chapters in the whole book, when Palmer McBride was uncovered by John Armstrong. And Palmer McBride was Harvey's best friend, and he knew him as Harvey. These two guys actually went by those opposite first names. And Palmer McBride was in high school with Harvey Oswald in 1957, worked with him at the dental lab in 1958. They were the best of friends. They went home. He was at Oswald's home many times for lunch when they were working together. He remembered talking about Oswald. Harvey was quite a intellectual. He was a great reader, and he was very, very interested in NASA and the space shot and, of course, Sputnik. Well, Sputnik didn't take place until October of 57. And yet Lee Oswald joined the Marines in 56, a very, very enlightening point that McBride makes there. And it's an interesting little anecdote in the appendix there, that where McBride had written a letter to David Lifton, who in 1980 wrote a classic book called Best Evidence. And his book, 33 years old now, is still, I guess, one of the classics on the subject. He's the one that went into all the brain tampering at the autopsy and all the skull tampering and the wound tampering that went on in his book, Best Evidence. Well, he wanted to prove that there could not have been two Oswalds. That Palmer McBride could not have known Harvey Oswald in New Orleans in 1957 and 58, because the Marine records show that he joined the Marines in 56.
Okay. All righty, Pat, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759. 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Pat Shannon. That's S-H-A-N-N-A-N. His website is patshannon.us. And you have covered in your book just so many things. You talk about Madeline Brown and the death of her son and just... You've got a lot of intrigue in this book, and it's just, it's starts right at the first page and just continues to build up.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I am. And this is a subject that has always fascinated me, too. I mean, I knew that was a big lie. You know, it's just so obvious. Of course, not at first. I mean, you have to look into something, but most people don't do that. They just accept what they're told.
Well,
and then
yes,
people and like you.
Yes, I guess I am a little different in that respect. I've always been bugged by these sorts of things, and how much of this really is true. And once again, as a young man in my 20s, I had no reason to suspect anything. I had the great red, white, and blue fever myself. I didn't know we didn't belong in Vietnam. I thought we should go nuke them all, you know, until I later discovered, wait a minute, who's the aggressor here? This Congress hasn't even declared this war, nor Korea, and nor any since, and none since 1945. So every war that America has fought since World War II has not even been declared. And yet we're in 130-some-odd countries with occupational troops. Something is wrong with that picture.
Exactly. Well, if you get right down to it, Congress didn't declare the Civil War. That was a lone act by Lincoln.
Well, and actually, you know, it's never, peace has never been declared either. Lee surrendered his army, but.
Right.
But the.
Okay,
but let's
move forward with it. I just wanted to throw that in because, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I must throw something else in quickly before we change the subject, and that is
okay.
When I grew up in the South, that's why until I was 18, I thought damn Yankee was one word.
Oh, goodness. All righty. Well. There's a lot of people that think that too.
Well, I don't think so much anymore. I believe that fever has died out. But there's of course many such as I would believe that certainly the states have the right to secede, and
of course.
And certainly the federal government has become the enemy of many of the states. They've taken over.
Absolutely. All righty, let's talk about your book. This is just so interesting, and you have John Armstrong's book, but tell us about the two Oswalds. Tell us they have so many similarities, and you talk about this being an American intelligence operation when these two young men were first started school. I mean, what, 1952 or something? No, it's earlier than that. But you have pictures, and there were two, and these two individuals. Each carried the identification for two people.
Yeah, on November 22nd of 63, that became evident. Backing up, though, to your original question, it is probable that because it was in 52 that Lee Oswald from New Orleans was in New York City for a short time, and this probably is when the two were brought together sometime between 52 and 54, when they ended up together back in New Orleans in junior high school. Both were born about 38 or 39. Of course, we know Lee was born. We know his date of birth, October 18th of 39. And Jim Mars, who has certainly been best-selling New York Times best-selling author and with his Crossfire 20-something years ago, Jim's a great friend of mine. He's been a great sounding board for me. And in fact, he even taught a course there in Arlington at the University of Texas at Arlington for several years. Armstrong even sat in on it along with some of the others. But nevertheless, Morris pointed out to me that in 1954, Robert Oswald was already military intelligence on the fringes, if not within the CIA. The picture of this Russian-speaking kid who became Harvey was presented to Robert as looking so much like him, and Robert had to admit, he said, yeah, you know, he does look like me, but he looks a whole lot more like my little brother, and besides, they're closer to the same age. Morris suggests, I think without a whole lot of facts and evidence, but nevertheless, it is a logical conclusion. They were brought together somehow and became under the auspices of the CIA. So that makes as much logical sense to me as any scenario. And indeed, they did look a whole lot alike. The difference, of course, was Harvey was of Russian parentage. Armstrong assumes today that he likely was a war orphan because there were so many Russian-speaking war orphans that ended up in this country. And I know I went to school with a couple of them myself in grammar school. And so that part made sense to me, but nevertheless, the kid spoke fluent Russian from childhood. He obviously learned it in his household. He spoke two languages growing up, and that would have begun in New York City, which also would have been a logical spot for
an orphan to be, right?
For our immigrants, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not to say that his parents weren't bought off. They could have stolen him. They might have bought him. They might have killed him. Who knows? They will mm-hmm. stoop to anything to get to reach their means. But also, if you listen to some of the old YouTube videos, we've got Marguerite. The only Marguerite we ever knew was Harvey's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Armstrong shows that she was born in 1892, and Lee's mother was born in 1907. So there's a big difference there in ages. And if you look at those pictures at the end of the book in the appendix, I didn't get the picture of the Lee's mother until much, in fact, the second printing, matter of fact, the to put it in there. But you can see that they are two different women. You also can see Lee in the face of the New Orleans Marguerite. You can see Lee in the younger woman's face. You can't see Harvey in the Marguerite's face that you and I knew. Harvey being, for the audience to understand, Harvey was the one that was shot in the jailhouse by Jack Ruby. He was the one who spoke fluent Russian. And his mother was the older Marguerite, which was the only Marguerite we ever knew. Because they disappeared Lee's mother in the late 50s at the same time Harvey went to Russia, and Lee disappeared from all pictures and photographs too, as you can see there in my book. So something was deep intrigue already long before they knew what they were going to use these boys for. I mean, it's ridiculous to assume that they were planning to kill the president in 1955 or 6 or 4, but with a fluent speaking young lad who looked like this other kid, they certainly knew they could use him for something, and that's why they were groomed for so long.
Absolutely. And given the time period and the things that were going on, the emergence of the Cold War and all that, yes, of course, perfect that they would pair these two together for something.
Right. And as it turned out, I think it was probably early 63 before they decided exactly what they were going to use them for, and Lyndon Johnson was planning to bring Kennedy to Texas. Harvey went to New Orleans in April, and immediately, the same time that he went to New Orleans, Lee surfaces in Dallas. It was Lee who was actually seen with Jack Ruby when Harvey was in New Orleans from April until the end of September. Lee and Ruby were seen in many places. In fact, as I point out in the book, in one instance, there's a waitress who saw Lee and Jack Ruby together on Friday night after midnight, some 12 hours after Harvey was in jail.
Hmm.
She didn't live very long either.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that in your book you talk about people who simply don't live very long, including Madeline Brown's son, when he tried to get some of the estate of his father, LBJ.
Madeline was a wealth of information. As I mentioned in there, she and I became friends in the last years of her life, and I actually used their guest room when I was in Dallas a couple of times. So I had some late night conversations with her, and as I also mentioned earlier, you know, she wanted Marina to talk to me, but she didn't do a very good job in preparing it beforehand. Marina's guard was so up because of what Gerald Posner had done to her with his lies and his book back in the 90s. She didn't want to know any new writers, including me.
Sure.
But we had a brief introduction, and that was pretty much it.
Okay, so is there a particular, you know, you can read your book chapter by chapter, start at the beginning and then go all the way to the end, or you can pick out the chapters that most interest you. Is there a particular chapter that you think that people... Oh, okay, we have to have a break here.
Where they might learn the most. Okay, I'll think of that.
Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Pat Shannon. His website is patshannon.us. Okay, so if you were to recommend a chapter in your book that somebody should start off with, what would that chapter be? I like the Silver Bullet chapter right at the beginning.
The magic bullet.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the magic bullet.
This is not the Lone Ranger.
What was I thinking? Okay, the magic bullet, the Lone Ranger. Yes, he was just the lone gunman, right? Not the Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't even a lone gunman. He wasn't even a gunman. That's the thing.
Right.
neither one of them shot. Harvey Norley, neither shot.
We talked about Arlen Specter yesterday in yesterday's program, and so the fact that he had something to do with that, that preposterous theory, just made me, check out that chapter first.
Well, during your break, I thumbed the pages to see if I really had a favorite spot. I don't really have a favorite spot in here because this is written more as an essay, and so I would suggest that people begin on page one. But okay. Not to dodge your question, probably the most enlightening is the longest section, And that's something we could spend the whole hour on. I'll try not to, but that's Harvey Lee and the J.D. Tippit, a new look at the Tippit shooting. It was written by Armstrong more than a decade ago, and it's how he and I really came together a year or two ago. I tracked him down through a mutual friend who had sent me the email and began to correspond with John Armstrong. And I first asked for permission to reprint this in my new book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, Volume 2, I was coming up with. By the way, the new title for Volume 2, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, we don't want to confuse people and let them think they've already read it, so the title for Volume 2 is going to be Nothing They Ever Told Me Was the Truth.
Very good. Very good.
But anyway, I was thinking of perhaps putting this essay, or rather this investigative report, I should call it, by Armstrong, on the shooting of J.D. Tippit, and I was asking permission to use it, and he wrote me back and said, certainly you can use anything you want of mine. You know, just give me credit, as any author would
sure.
want. Since after that, we decided to make a whole book out of this, I used his article, his report, and then I filled in the blanks with some updated information, not to contradict him in any way, because I certainly have great, great respect for John Armstrong and his research. But there still were some points of clarification, and if you notice, I wrote that in bold type throughout in the middle of or at the end of each of his paragraphs. But to bring the neophyte up to date, because as I said earlier, books like, say, Crossfire, Jim Mars, or the recent one by Jerry Corsi, are far more comprehensive than mine. I zero in on this one subject pretty much, as you can tell, but. With little rabbit trails on off to the side, those other books are far better for the uninitiated. Say the young man who was born since 1980, for instance. But the Tippit murder, to bring people up to date, I've walked the strip where Oswald allegedly broke the world record in street clothes and running the mile down the sidewalk. And that's at 1:04 p.m. Kennedy being shot at 12:30. He was back at the rooming house, and this, of course, would be Harvey, because he was the one that worked at the school book depository. And he was back at the rooming house, and Earlene Roberts, the housekeeper there, saw him run in, get a jacket, and run back out, and was standing at the bus stop at 1:04. Well, J.D. Tippit was shot, the original police report says 1:07. They later doctored that to make it later, as late as even 1:15. But at 1:04 to 1:07, I have both driven it and walked it myself. It's just about a mile to the corner of 10th and Patton, where Officer Tippit was shot. And Oswald would have had to run it, as I say, in street clothes and in a 3-minute mile. So we know that didn't happen. Some of the ridiculous situations that became official, not only with the police reports changed and doctored, but even with the Warren Commission, they bought anything that would fit to Oswald being the singular assassin. But one of the most ridiculous things is J.D. Tippit was shot four times, three times in the torso and once in the head, and ejected shells were found on the street. Yet they place a revolver in his hand that never matched up, by the way, to the bullets. But he allegedly went to his rooming house and stuck a revolver in his belt. And revolvers, as you may know, Deanna, do not eject shells. Only semi-automatics would do that.
Exactly.
So we're supposed to think that here Harvey Oswald shoots the cop and then stops and opens his revolver and empties the shells into the street. And then he also drops his wallet.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Oh, yeah. Remind me to get back to this in Memphis on April the 4th, 1968, where James Earl Ray did the same dumb thing. But Oswald wallet is found on the street. We've got pictures of the detectives looking in the wallet and zeroed in and zoomed in. We can see they're looking at the ID. And the wallet found on the street contained two IDs. It contained that of Alec Heidel. Alec spelled A-L-E-K, which suggests a Russian spelling, perhaps. And this, you know, this might have been Harvey's original name, Russian name. We don't know, but we don't know where that name came from. It's also the name that the rifle was allegedly shipped to from the Chicago warehouse to Dallas. The Italian man like Carcano went to Alec Heidel. But back to the Tippit shooting, here they find shells emptied on the street and a wallet containing two IDs, that of Lee Harvey Oswald and that of Alec Heidel, but the same picture is on both IDs, and it was later determined by a photographic expert from Fort Worth, Jack White, some 20 years later in the 80s, he began to put all these things together, and he showed and proved how the ID picture was actually pictures of both men, split vertically right down the middle through the nose and forehead and chin. And by taking a close look and magnifying glass and these sorts of things, you can see that there are two different chins. The ears are not quite even. And the hairline at the very top of the forehead is slightly offset by like an eighth of an inch where the two were put in the center. And so, but there's the ID pictures on both that the cops find in the scene at the Tippit murder between 1:15 and 1:30 when they're investigating the case. And now we move forward to the Texas Theater. And the Texas Theater claimed that somebody sneaked in without buying a ticket, and suddenly 20, count them, 20 patrol cars come zooming in to Texas Theater front and back. My goodness, this man beat the theater out of 50 cents. We got to go catch him. So it was an obvious setup. I'm sure that it was where Harvey was sent to go. Harvey was told to go there, and this proved out later, as we mentioned in the book, one of the witnesses in the theater, there were very few people there, I think less than a dozen, as I remember, were actually in the theater. But one of them, come the following Sunday, when Jack Ruby shoots Oswald in the jailhouse, recognizes Ruby as one of the guys in the theater. In fact, this witness even sat behind him. He was smart enough not to blow the whistle. For some 15 years later, he finally told the one of the Dallas newspapers. So once again, 20 and 25 years and 30 years down the road, people began to lose their fears and tell the truth. Back to the theater. So they turn on the lights in the theater, and Oswald realizes, something's up. The gun that he was given had the firing pin actually filed down on it. It was allegedly given to him by Ruby. We don't know this to be a fact, but it was filed down in order not to work. And we think he was supposed to be shot in the theater. I'll come back to that.
All righty. We are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour, so stay tuned.